as Lizzie Eustace. Lizzie, determined to retain possession of her splendid diamond necklace, languishes in Scotland, but her cousin Frank's arrival proves both diverting and scandalous.
Lizzie!
Yes, my love.
I had a dream that the diamonds were gone.
No, Florian. No. They're quite safe in my jewel box, covered with a dear little satin cushion.
You'd never let...
What?
You know that the diamonds must never be taken out of the Eustace family.
Of course I know that. But you gave me the Eustace name. Have you forgotten? I'm a Eustace too.
The Eustace Diamonds by Anthony Trollope. Dramatised for radio by Rose Tremaine.
I can't look at all this for too long. I mean, I know it is very beautiful and stirring, but it stirs me in a way that makes me feel afraid.
Afraid of what?
You can't always explain what you're afraid of.
It's just the sea and the wind.
I know, but it's somehow more than that. You probably wouldn't understand, Crabstick.
I like the sea.
Because your name is Crab?
No, because I just like it.
I was brought up in Kent, yes, I know. If Frank were here, I wouldn't feel afraid.
He may not come. I thought members of Parliament had to work.
They only work sometimes. Of course he'll come. He's promised me. I've asked Andy Gowran to get a pony for him.
He's fond of riding, is he?
No. But if he's staying at the lodge, it's quite a distance to walk every morning and night.
Why would he stay at the lodge?
Well, I can't have people talking. If he stays here with me, it might be misconstrued.
By whom?
By Gowran, for a start. He's never liked me. He's furious that I cut down a few trees.
More than a few, I was told.
The estate has to pay, Patience. Otherwise, it's just a drain on me. My income is so small.
Your aunt doesn't think it's
small. Aunt Penelope has forfeited her right to any opinion, as far as I'm concerned. But Lord Fawn thinks... Well, on second thoughts... Let's not talk about Lord Fawn. I don't really want to marry him. He reminds me of a sea creature.
Then you don't mind if he breaks it off?
On the contrary, of course I mind. By what right should he break it off? I have the right to break it, if I can't abide the idea of being married to a sea cucumber. But he has no grounds. He made his proposal and he must keep to it.
But if you don't love him...
I don't love him at all. I despise him. Mrs. Carbuncle is here. Florian thought her dreadfully vulgar and never invited her. But I like her spirit.
Oh, Lady Eustace.
Mrs. Carbuncle, how consoling to see you. We haven't seen a single soul, have we, Crabstick? You'd think we were lepers.
Oh, my, hear that, Lucinda. That's Lady Eustace's humour for you. My niece, Lucinda Roanoke. Oh. Lucinda is a very, very fine huntswoman.
Oh, how wonderful.
Do you hunt, Lady Eustace?
Well, no. Nobody ever taught me, but...
Nothing to it, is there, Lucinda?
Well, there's something to it. You have to learn to feel no fear.
Oh, we were talking about fear just before you arrived.
Lucinda makes people afraid. She's so outspoken.
I speak my thoughts, that's all. If people don't like them...
Well, they often don't like them.
That's too bad.
Too bad. What do you think of that, Lady Eustace?
Admirable. I think it admirable. Would you care to stay for lunch? I expect the kitchen can find some haunch of venison that has not become maggoty through hanging too long.
Maggoty. Oh, wonderful. We'll stay. What a pleasure.
Our cousin, she said. There was never any cousin coming here in Sir Florian's time. Cousin can mean anything you will.
Have you fetched the pony, Andy?
Aye.
Is it a good pony? Did you get a good one?
No. Sir Flo was a fair man for an English baronet. But her ladyship, she's no my idea of a lady. Shame it was he was the one to die.
What manner of pony did you get?
Skittish.
The poor cousin could break a limb then.
Aye, he could. Or break his heart.
What do you mean, Andy?
I mean we should keep watch.
Upon the cousin?
Upon her. There was never any peace at Portray when she was here.
Now, continuing on the subject of islands, who can show me where the island of Madeira is to be found?
In the sea?
But which sea?
The sea I like best is the Sargasso Sea. Sargasso? I wish I could meet a man called that. Then I could be Lydia Sargasso, or Lady Sargasso, or Baroness Sargasso.
I thought Madeira was a drink.
Yes, but the drink is named for the island, so where is the island?
Near Scotland?
Why has Mr. Greystock gone to Scotland, Lucy?
This is Madeira, here, south of Portugal. And if I travel due east of Madeira...
I think it's absolutely rotten. He's only been engaged to you for 5 minutes.
Girls, I hope you're not going to make me angry.
You should be angry, but not with us. With Frank.
Please, Augusta.
I just don't see the point of getting engaged and then...
Due east of Madeira, where would I arrive?
Back at Fawn Court? Because you haven't ever really left it. Maybe you'll never leave it.
I think we should stop now. It's almost 5.
Well, we're not being horrible to you, Lucy. We're just more concerned about Scotland than about Madeira.
You need not be. I trust Mr. Greystock, absolutely. His cousin has had difficulties come her way and is very upset. She needs somebody.
Magic should go then. As Lady Eustace's future spouse, I expect he just can't bother to go to Scotland and be forced to drink all that Madeira.
No, Lydia, you've muddled it.
Is Madeira like sherry? Frederick loves sherry.
Frederick won't go because he's having second thoughts. When he learned that Lady Eustace was heartless, he...
No, Frank didn't mean that.
Why did he say it then? Doesn't he mean anything he says?
Oh. Oh, hold on to me, Frank. It's so steep. Oh,
we're almost down.
Does it make you afraid? Or this wild nature kind of thing?
No.
Nothing makes you afraid, does it?
If you knew.
You what? You what, Frank?
Everybody's afraid of one thing or another.
Let's sit down. The sand's dry here. That's better. Are you glad you came? It's very lovely here, isn't it? Away from London. Away from everyone else.
I'm glad I came.
So tell me what frightens you.
How to manage everything correctly and not betray anybody. And not betray myself.
I think you would only betray yourself if you someday decided to marry that little chit of a person at Richmond. Because you'd be sad and poor all your days and never make your mark. But I think you're too sensible for that, aren't you?
Let's talk about you. It was you I came to see.
Well, I've been so alone. Till you arrived.
Have you no company?
Only Crabstick. And my little boy.
And the diamonds?
Well, of course. I wasn't going to leave them in Mount Street for Camperdown to steal. He arrived with this horrible document just as I was leaving. He tried to put it in my hand, but he failed. I saw it lying in the gutter.
Lizzie, do you not think for your own peace?
What for my own peace?
That you should surrender them.
Certainly not. Turtle Dove will be on my side, and then everybody will have to leave me in peace. Except Lord Fawn will be forced to grovel at my knees.
Is that what you want from him?
Yes, of course. I don't think I'm hard by nature, but these things make a woman hard.
Don't you love him?
Not at all. Don't sigh like that. You know how much I care for you. I know you don't care for me, but...
not care for you.
No. You know, Frank, after Florian died, I thought that you and I thought you might come to me.
Come to you?
I thought. But of course I see that I was wrong. I'm nothing to you.
Nothing to me? You know that I used to imagine, right from when I was a boy, what it would be like to kiss you.
Imagining was enough, was it?
Then it was enough.
And now?
Now? Well, I've come all the way to Scotland. I've surely deserved a kiss, haven't I?
Yes, Frank. Yes.
Oh, Lizzie.
Cousins, is it? Kissing, cousins? Is that what you think this is all for?
What impertinence! I dismiss you from my service forthwith.
Dismiss me from your service? That's all one to me, m'lady. I work for Mr. Camperdown on behalf of the heir, not for you. Cousins, indeed.
Lizzie, I'm so sorry. It was absolutely wrong of me.
Don't say that.
Terribly wrong. I must leave. Dear Lizzie, what a wretch I am.
But I love you, Frank.
No, you don't. And I should never have kissed you. Forgive me.
Don't go.
I have to.
Don't leave me.
I have to leave you.
Why?
Because none of this is right.
I hate the world. I hate everyone.
Oh, I've invited Lady Eustace from Portray. I expect you know her, Sir Griffin.
I haven't had that pleasure.
I know her. I shall be delighted to see her again. And I shall ask her outright.
Ask her what?
If she's given back the diamonds.
What diamonds?
Oh, the story hasn't reached you here in Scotland.
No, tell us at once, Lord George.
Well, word has it that she's taken the Eustace family for a terrible ride.
A ride? How gripping. Carry on.
It concerns a necklace.
Lady Eustace, madam.
Oh, here she is. Later, Lord George. Lady Eustace. Oh, my dear. Oh, you look ravishing. Look at Lady Eustace, gentlemen. Was there anything to show more fair? You know Lord George Carruthers?
Yes, indeed.
Charmed once again.
And Sir Griffin Tewett?
Sir Griffin?
Lady Eustace.
Champagne? Here we are. Oh, Lucinda dotes on champagne.
Well, you dote on it too, aunt.
I'll be ruined before the summer's over, but I can never say no to my niece. I'm sure you just can't say no to your little boy, Lady Eustace, can you?
No, but he is only 11 months old.
Spoiling begins early. It always does. Were you a spoiled little girl?
I don't know.
Visible in every feature, I'd say. Spoiled in the womb.
That's goodness, Lord George, I'm not sure.
And ever since, Flo used to spoil you.
Yes, he did, rather.
That's nothing. Men are far more spoiled than women.
Why do you say that?
Because a greater value is put upon their lives.
I say, that's a bit provoking, isn't it?
No, it's just true. When you marry, Sir Griffin, what will you hope for on your firstborn child, boy or girl?
Well, a boy? But that's only because...
You've got a baronetcy.
Yes,
but... You mean if your daughter could inherit the title, you wouldn't mind?
She can't inherit the title, and that's never going to change.
Nothing's going to change in women's lives unless we change things for ourselves.
Isn't that so, Lady Eustace? You mean men make up all the rules?
Every single one.
And you break them. Is that not also true, Lady Eustace?
Not that I know of.
I'd heard differently. The rules about heirlooms, for instance.
Well, I don't know much about heirlooms. But I think women like myself and Miss Roanoke, I think we're treated a bit like heirlooms, with all our ownership decreed.
Well said, Lady Eustace.
Oh, my, I never thought to hear such radical talk in my drawing room.
Lady Eustace was always bold as brass, weren't you?
Was I, Lord George?
Or perhaps I shouldn't say brass. Something altogether more precious. That's an extremely fine diamond necklace you're wearing.
Thank you.
Do you see this, Mrs. Carbuncle? Isn't this something near to perfection?
Oh. Yes. Good grief. The conversation had been so surprising. I hadn't taken in the jewels.
It suits you very well, Lady Eustace.
Thank you, Miss Roanoke. It's just a little thing my late husband gave me. Mm. When you get a husband,
I'm not getting one. I shall live my life entirely without.
She loves to tease me, but she doesn't mean a word of it.
I do mean it. You have my upkeep for the rest of your days, Aunt, and I do not come cheaply, as you know. May I touch your necklace, Lady Eustace?
Of course.
Beautiful. You must never be parted from this.
Would anybody like to hear a little recitation of Pascal?
No, thank you, Augusta.
Lucy has been introducing us to some of his thoughts, to give a little philosophical dimension to our existence.
Go on then, dear.
Some we like, don't we, Lydia?
Oh, yes.
And some we don't agree with. For instance, we like... Il est bon d'être las et fatigué par l'inutile recherche de vrai bien.
Oh, for goodness sake, Augusta. I'm trying to eat my dinner.
Education can go on at mealtimes, you know, Frederick.
Not at this mealtime. Just be silent, please.
Well, Frederick?
What, Mother?
You'd better tell us why you're so cross.
I'm cross because I do not wish for any recitation of fatuous French aphorisms to accompany my roast lamb, thank you very much.
No, you were cross before that. Ever since you came in.
I was. It's true. But it's not a thing I can say in front of Miss Moyes.
Because it concerns Mr. Greystock. Mr. Greystock is in Scotland.
No, he's not. He's back from Scotland, and he was as insolent to me today as any man I've met.
You told me he was in Scotland until...
You may as well hear it too, Miss Moyes. And I won't mince my words. Frank Greystock is an impertinent, meddlesome ingrate. Oh. I have a good mind to call him out.
Oh, you shall do nothing of the kind, Frederick.
Call him out? You mean...
No, no, those old jewels are part of history now. I'm sure Frederick would...
Well, I shall never speak to him again. He had the temerity to upbraid me for my supposed unkindnesses towards his cousin, without knowing the half of what has happened. There is nothing of the gentleman about him.
You mustn't say that, Lord Fawn.
I shall say what I like, Miss Morris, and I do not invite any comment from you.
To say that he is not a gentleman,
Lucy.
It is right. Mr. Greystock is a gentleman, and if you say that he is not a gentleman, that is a lie.
In all honesty, what is Miss Morris still doing in this household? If she is really engaged to Greystock, as she says, then she should be at his mother's house. So, let her go there. I no longer wish to see her face at Fawn Court.
Oh, Lucy, could you not have chosen other words?
But why should I? Frank is a gentleman and Lord Fawn was wrong.
You know, in civilised society, people should never accuse each other of untruth.
But he was wrong and he knows Mr. Greystock is more to me than all the world.
What are we going to do now, Mama?
Oh, come, Lucy. In the morning, you must apologise very profusely to Frederick.
I cannot.
It's better if you do. You can't leave us, Lucy.
I shall have to leave you. I can't stay here now. And why did Frank not come to me? He said he would come to me when he returned from Scotland, but he didn't, and I don't know why.
What are you going to put, Auntie? If her ladyship wants a suit, what can Mr. Camperdown do?
Her trade doesn't belong to Lady Eustace. It belongs to the heir, the bail. Now take this down.
She could send the bailiffs to turn us out.
That's why we mustn't tarry with a letter.
We've no skill at letters, neither one of us.
It's not the Bible we're writing. Now put this. Mr. Andy Gowran, factor of the Portray Estate, presents his compliments to Mr. Camperdown.
Go slower, Andy.
Begs to inform him of certain recent events. No, certain recent untoward events occurring in the vicinity.
Will Lady Eustace not think we've been spying on her?
I don't care what she thinks. Carry on now. It was my misfortune, while walking the beach on Tuesday afternoon, to witness a sight I would fain not have seen.
Are you certain sure it was a lover's kiss, Andy, and not a brotherly kiss?
Ugh, I'm not blind, Desi. Nor am I stupid. Now, do you want to lose the roof over your head or let the law protect you? Aye. Trust in the law, and not in any lady, however grand she thinks herself to be.
It was so kind of you to call, Lord George. Crabstick and I were just reciting Byron and lamenting the lack of any real corsairs in the modern world.
Corsairs? You women spend half your life dreaming and the other half... Well, you spend the other half doing what?
Scheming, I expect.
Well, that's honest, at least. What a delightfully complicated woman you are, Lady Eustace.
It's only because I'm so put upon. It's why I came to Scotland, to get away from everybody threatening me. Even my own aunt.
Lady Linlithgow?
You know her. She's a harridan. She accosted me in the street the other day and told me I'd wind up in the clink.
I would like to have witnessed the scene.
Well, we're in Bond Street, just outside some jewellers.
Don't tell me you were trying to sell the Eustace diamonds.
Florian gave me the necklace. The one I wore at Mrs. Carbuncle's on Saturday night. He put it round my neck in this very room and told me it was mine. Surely a gift is a gift.
Unless it is an heirloom?
That's just a word. Mr. Camperdown is very fond of it, as he might be fond of the words fee or percentage. But now, there's a nice Mr. Dove who sits in... Well, I can't quite remember where he sits, but he sits...
In Chancery.
That's the place. And he is going to sort everything out.
You have faith it will be sorted out to your advantage?
Yes.
Does Lord Fawn agree with you?
Lord Fawn is behaving very badly. If you were to be my future husband, Lord George, you would be on my side, wouldn't you?
Well, I wouldn't want you to be locked in the clink. Then there would be no future.
Exactly. But Lord Fawn's such a lily liver. I wouldn't be surprised if he'd like to see me put away.
Frederick, dear, we must resolve the Lucy question as soon as ever we can.
Intolerable, what she said to me. She simply does not know how to behave properly.
She is very sorry about it. But we do value her so much, the girls and I.
If she is sorry, she must apologise to me.
But will that be enough? You're not going to insist that she leaves Fawn Court.
Mother, I'm very busy. I have no time to spend on domestic matters. If she humbles herself and makes her proper apology, then I suppose she can stay, since you're all so devoted to her.
It's not only that. She has nowhere else to go.
If she's to marry Greystock, then she should go to his mother at the deanery.
Yes. But I fear Mrs. Greystock's invitation will not be forthcoming. She had hopes.
That son Frank would do better for himself than marry a governess.
I suppose you have to put it like that.
How I dislike the man. He criticises me for wishing the diamond matter resolved before my marriage to Lady Eustace. But what of his own behaviour towards Miss Morris?
It is difficult for him, Frederick. He knows you would not welcome him here.
No, I would not.
Well, I don't know how he is to see her then.
The marriage will never happen, I'm sure of it. Greystock will break it off.
And what about you, dear? I feel you are not quite happy in your own decisions.
No, I'm not.
My poor boy. You look very tired. Perhaps if you went to Scotland...
And that would gain me nothing. And I can't abide Scotland. I wish...
What?
Sometimes I wish I'd never met her.
We are to meet at Lord George's house, where he will have the horses ready, then a ride of just a few miles to the waterfall, where we shall picnic. Oh, it will be delightful.
When it comes to riding...
Oh, I'll stay by you, Lady Eustace.
We'll ride together.
No, you are to ride with Sir Griffin Tewett, Lucinda.
I can ride with whomever I please, can't I?
No, you can't. It's all arranged. Oh, Lord George has said he is happy to ride beside Lady Eustace. Oh, and my dear, he has found a delightful little horse for you. A real darling.
I suppose. As long as we just trot and don't gallop or anything.
And Lord George always gallops on that stallion of his.
I'd rather stay by you then, Miss Roanoke.
Fine.
What about Sir Griffin?
What about him?
Who is he to ride with?
He'll ride with you, Aunt.
No, that would never do. Now, you must tell Lady Eustace what Sir Griffin said to you on Monday, Lucinda.
What did he say? I can't remember.
He is quite smitten with Lucinda.
Sir Griffin Tewett is a toad.
He paid her the greatest of attention and seems absolutely to overlook the fact that she's 30.
Toads have poor eyesight. It's well known.
What in the world am I to do with her, Lady Eustace? Sir Griffin is a baronet. And what he said to Lucinda is tantamount to...
Nobody's asking you to do anything. If you're so intent upon getting me off your hands...
I admire your resolve, Miss Roanoke. Please do ride with me on Saturday. And perhaps you can help me. Not only to stay on my horse, but also to see where it may be taking me.
Can you stop, please, Augusta? I need some peace and quiet.
If you would only surrender to music, Frederick, you might feel better about everything.
Did I ask for your counsel? No, I did not. Be good enough to take your harp somewhere else.
Oh, Frederick.
Yes? Who is it?
It's me, Lord Fawn.
Miss Morris, what is it you want?
I wanted to speak to you privately.
Oh, very well. Off you go, Augusta.
Good luck, Lucy.
Well?
I came to say that I'm sorry I spoke to you so rudely last time, when we were talking about Mr. Greystock.
Yes, quite so. It was very ill-mannered of you, but perhaps your upbringing did not teach you enough about manners.
Oh, on the contrary. My mother was very meticulous about politeness.
It was a lapse, then?
It was only that I couldn't bear it. To hear you say that Mr. Greystock doesn't behave like a gentleman.
Do you think he behaves like a gentleman?
Yes, I do.
So you don't take back your accusation that what I said about him was a lie?
I merely wanted to apologise for my rudeness, Lord Fawn.
But you still insist that by describing Greystock's behaviour as ungentlemanly, I was perpetrating an untruth.
Well, yes.
Then your apology is worthless, isn't it?
Do you not feel it to be worthless?
Quite worthless. I'm still a liar in your eyes.
No.
Do you agree with me, then, that Frank Greystock is no gentleman?
No.
Miss Morris, I think you're wasting my time. I have a great deal of work to do.
I'm sorry, Lord Fawn. I truly am.
Well, yes. You may well be sorry. But sorrow in this matter is not enough.
Am I to understand that I'm not invited to the picnic on Saturday?
It involves rather a lot of riding, Crabstick. And I know that life has never conducted you in the direction of a saddle. Unless you were given donkey rides along Camber Sands, were you?
No.
Well, you can stay behind and read Byron and travel to Greece or somewhere with him.
What about you? You're an experienced rider, are you, Lady Eustace?
Oh, yes. When Sir Florian was alive, he kept horses here.
You hunted, did you?
The thrill of the hunt. I can't describe it to you. Going so terrifyingly fast, full tilt towards a hedge, and when you've jumped it, you feel so filled with joy, it's as though you've come through fire and without a mark on you. Oh, Flo's awake. Come here, my baby. Come to Mama. You push the pram, Patience.
Very well.
Now tell me what you think of Lord George Carruthers. Hush, Flo, Mama is trying to have a conversation. Is Lord George a true corsair, do you think?
What do you mean?
Is he brave? Would he risk everything for love?
I have no idea. I barely saw him. But he must be 45, at least.
I've come to believe this is the kind of man I need. One who would stand by me. One who knows something of the world. One who might become a pirate for my sake.
Pirate?
Well, I don't mean plundering and killing and all that. Just willing to be a man and defend me unto death. I think Lord George might be that kind of person, don't you?
How would I know?
The thing is,
I'm beginning to see that I've been far too much in the company of the weak and spineless. Even my cousin. He's really and truly as cowardly as the rest.
My dear Lizzie, since I left Portray, I have done nothing but berate myself for my terrible betrayal of
Lady
everything.
Lady Fawn, sir. Oh. Mr. Greystock, I'm interrupting your work. I thought
no,
it was Saturday.
No. Just notes for a briefing I'm writing for the. Please do sit down. I'm sorry, my room is up. Can I order you some tea?
No, thank you. I can't stay long.
How is Lucy, Lady Fawn?
Well, that is why I'm here. I came to ask your advice.
Yes?
I'm afraid that Lucy is going to have to leave Fawn Court and...
Leave Fawn Court?
Alas, the girls and I are very upset. But there was, well, an altercation with my son. And you know how absolute Lord Fawn can be. He asked that Lucy apologize to him, but...
She would not.
She tried.
Well,
if you're going to ask me what the quarrel was about, I'm afraid that I can't tell you. I believe there was right on both sides. But Lucy is now the loser, and I just do not know where she is to go.
What a wretched thing. Lucy was so happy at Fawn Court.
I must have something agreed by next week.
Never was a young woman more contented in her work.
I know, but it's over. I can't fight my son. Will you write to your mother? If you are engaged to Lucy, then...
I've spoken to my mother about having Lucy at the deanery, but she... Well, she falters before the idea. She is not very happy about the engagement, Lady Fawn. I know that she worries.
She worries that you're going to be poor.
I will be poor if I marry Lucy. And I cannot pretend to you that I never think about it. A rich wife.
It was rumoured last spring that you might marry your cousin.
I love Lucy, Lady Fawn. There are moments when this love strikes me as inconvenient. But as soon as my, all my debts are gone, then we shall be man and wife, and I know that we shall be happy.
And in the meantime?
I think the best thing is... I will ask my aunt, Lady Linlithgow. She had Miss Crabstick there as companion, but she has no one now and complains of solitude. I will ask her to take Lucy. I think that is probably the only thing I can do.
Will your aunt treat Lucy kindly, do you think?
Yes. She's very outspoken and she has quite a lively temper, but beneath all that, she has a good heart. I shall go and see her this evening. Are you happy that I should do that?
No, Mr. Greystock. I am happy about none of it. But what else can we do?
Oh, look at the sky. It's going to pour. We should be soaked at the picnic.
Perhaps it might be better if we had the picnic in the summer house right here.
No, no, Lord George wouldn't hear of it. He rides in all weathers.
The thing with George is you must never complain. Never show weakness. Then you get his respect. If respect is what you want.
Your mounts, ladies.
Help Lady Eustace, Mackay.
Aye.
Oh, is this one mine?
Aye.
He's quite tall.
All right for you, Lady Eustace. Hold him, Mackay. Hold him still.
Aye.
Good. Now keep the rein short. Keep it short. You don't want him dashing off before the others. Check Lady Eustace's stirrups, Mackay. They look long to me.
Yes. Mrs. Carbuncle, Griffin, are you ready?
Oh, wait for George. Sir Griffin wants to ride with Lucinda.
I'm not riding beside the Griffin. I promised Lady Eustace...
I'll take care of Lady Eustace. You go ahead, Miss Roanoke. Put Minstrel to a good gallop.
Oh, are you all right, Lady Eustace?
Yes. Fine.
I'm off, then.
Seldom see that. Horse and rider as one. But she's born to it.
Can I catch her on this nag, George?
I doubt it, but you can try.
We'll try, then.
Smitten, didn't I tell you? Oh, look at that.
He could break his neck. All right, are you, Lady Eustace? Stirrups all right?
Yes.
No point in us trying to catch them. We'll just go at a nice trot, shall we?
Yes, a nice trot.
Come on. Spurnoak! Watch out! Slow down! Oh, heavens! George! Help! Catastrophe!
You're going very well, Lady Eustace.
Thank you.
Won't mind a bit of rain, will you?
No, not at all.
I've been thinking how delightful it is we're neighbours in Scotland. We shall have a fine summer, won't we? Or is Lord Fawn coming to join you here?
Oh, no. Scotland is not to his liking at all. All that occupies him is business. Can I tell you something, Lord George?
Please, tell me anything.
Since I came to Portray, I've begun to think that the marriage will never be.
Because of the diamonds?
He's trying to make me give them up. As though I'd got them by piracy or something.
Piracy?
Just as though I was a corsair. When he should be the corsair and defend me, shouldn't he?
Wait a moment. There's Griff up ahead. Soaking wet. What the devil? Oh. Come on, Lady Eustace. We've got to gallop now. Oh. Ah!
Oh, my poor niece. Why ever did she do such a terrible thing?
I don't know.
If it hadn't been for Sir Griffin, she would have been swept to her death. Is it pneumonia, do you think? Why wouldn't the doctors say?
Doctors never say, because they never know.
She's all I have. No children of my own. Oh, if she were to die.
Forgive me, Mrs. Carbuncle. But were you not lamenting the idea that you would have her upkeep if she didn't marry?
Oh, I know I did. Her tastes are very expensive and a strain on my purse. But she's a darling girl, really. I partially mentioned the upkeep to put the idea of marriage in her mind. Because women must be married, and that's that. Oh, see who that is, dear Lady Eustace. I can't stir from this chair.
Lord George.
How is the patient?
Sleeping now.
Griffin wants to see her. Can he come up?
Oh, yes. Let Sir Griffin come up. What a hero he was this afternoon. He could have drowned, too. The pace of that river.
Aunt.
Oh, you're awake, dearest.
I know that Lord George keeps a great many guns in this house for the grouse shooting.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if Sir Griffin comes near my bed, I will blow my brains out with one of them.
It's just a game, Griff. Hot and cold, wind blows this way, wind blows that.
But it's never yet blown in my direction. I just can't get it, George. It's a baronet I am. Bags of money. House in Mayfair. Owner Rubens.
That could be the trouble. Lucinda doesn't like your taste in art. Mm. All that pink flesh.
Sell it then. I could. Buy something else. Buy a Stubbs.
Yes.
Still might not be enough. I just don't understand her. It's dashed provoking.
Whereas Lady Eustace, transparent as a leaded light, collecting us all up. Fawn, the cousin Greystock, and now me. Mm. Not that I mind. Mm. Fun and games to be had there, that's what I say. So who am I to complain?
What about the diamonds?
Hers? Not hers. Who knows? I'm pretty certain she doesn't know.
The courts may have their say.
Spectacle, Griffin. She will be superb in a court. Have the judge eating out of her little white hand. Why should she fear that?
It's dashed odd, though.
What?
Why women like her and Miss Roanoke aren't more afraid? For what is to be their future?
I hate goodbye.
There you are, Patience. I've had the most terrible document sent to me from Camperdown.
The recovery order?
I don't know what it calls itself, but it's terrible. It makes me think Aunt Penelope was right, and I'll soon be in prison.
Let me see.
8 days I am given, and then I have to make an appearance before the Lord Chancellor or the Vice Chancellor or some other ghastly myrmidon to show before the law why you should not surrender your diamonds. But why should I appear? Why should I be hounded like this?
Don't go then. Wait for the police to come to you.
The police?
This is a summons, Lady Eustace. You have to obey it, or you're going against the law.
I thought Mr. Dove was going to protect me. It doesn't mention any dove, does it? Not even at the end. I can't see the word dove anywhere. What am I going to do?
There's only one thing you can do. Comply with the order.
But if I go to London, they might arrest me straight away. I just wouldn't survive the clink, Patience. I honestly wouldn't. There are mice in there running around all over the place. I'd die of terror.
I expect you wish you'd never kept the diamonds, don't you?
No, not at all.
Or that you'd sold them.
The jewellers wanted to buy them. Harter and Benjamin. They were panting over them. Panting like dogs.
I think you would have got a very large price for the necklace.
Very large.
Well, that's what you should have done. Then you could go before the Lord Chancellor and say the diamonds are gone. And that is that.
But I'm afraid that would not be that. You have to see around the sides of everything, Patience, or else you can be caught in a trap. If I sold, the Eustaces would sue me for the money I got from the sale.
They might not.
But they would. Men love suing. They love it as much as hunting or shooting.
What if the diamonds were stolen?
Stolen? What do you mean?
Then you would be free of them.
I don't want to be free of them, Crabstick. What an idea.
Yet they seem to cause you nothing but grief. Should I start packing for London, Lady Eustace?
What? I don't know. Oh, I wish Frank were here to tell me what to do. 8 days, does it say? That's such a very little bit of time.
No bailiffs, then, Essie. You can sleep easy in your bed. Listen to this. Please rest assured that no action can be taken to remove you from the service of the Portray Estate without my specific agreement and that of the Eustace family.
Oh, look, no. She's coming, Andy. She's coming along the track.
Who?
Lady Eustace. She's coming to turn us out.
Oh, no. Keep calm, wife. No action can be taken to remove you from the service.
Andy!
I said keep calm. Go into the bedroom. Let me handle her.
Mr. Gowran.
My lady.
So, you are still here?
Aye, I'm here. And I'm not going anywhere else.
I see. Well, I was hasty, perhaps. But snooping upon others...
I have it here in this letter from Mr. Camperdown. I am not to be turned out.
Oh, well, he does enjoy writing ever so many letters. But I have no time to argue. I've come to tell you that I shall be leaving Portray the day after tomorrow.
Leaving?
Yes. Business matters call me to London. So I want you to make everything ready for my departure. Fresh horses for the carriage
and... If you're leaving, there are bills that need settling, my lady.
What bills?
For the forestry work.
Send them to Mr. Camperdown. It seems he must control everything hereabouts, and I'm not allowed to do anything for myself. So he must be the one to settle the accounts.
When Sir Florian was alive...
I would prefer it if you didn't speak of Sir Florian, Mr. Gowran. It is very bitter for me. I have no one. Except my cousin. And what you thought you saw on the beach was just an expression of my tenderness towards the only person in the world who cares about me.
I know nothing about that. I only know what I saw.
We shall speak of it no more. Will you please make everything ready for Friday morning?
Will you be coming back, my lady?
I don't know. Good day to you, Mr. Gowran.
Will you make me a gift of that clock, Lady Eustace?
make you a gift of the clock?
Yes, I love that delicate chime. Can I have it for my drawing room?
Well, I don't know. It was Florian's. It might be an heirloom.
I need something in return. You've just asked me the most colossal favour.
Only the short trip to London.
It's not short, as you well know. There will have to be an overnight stay in Carlisle and then another train.
We shall be in London by Saturday evening. Then you'll be rid of me.
It's not being with you, I mind. But I'd intended to be here in Scotland all summer.
Have the clock, then. Here you are.
Thank you.
I wouldn't have asked, Lord George, but travelling on my own with little Flo and Crabstick, and with stops at Carlisle and so forth, we might find ourselves lost on some platform with the night coming on.
What a teller of tales you are.
No, it's only that I have some imagination, and most people have none.
There are times when I could take you in my arms. You're a terrifying minx, twisting everyone and everything round your finger. But damn me if I don't find all that very fascinating.
Spoken like a corsair, Lord George. Perhaps you will stay in London a while and...
If I'm to forego my Scottish summer, you must do me a favour.
I've given you the clock, haven't I?
You must take Miss Roanoke in hand. She won't get a more advantageous offer than from Griff. He has more than one Rubens, you know, and she must be 30.
She doesn't care. She has no wish to be married.
The life of a spinster is bitter. Remind her of that.
She doesn't need reminding. She is all bitterness. She has venom in her veins, not blood. I find it wonderfully entertaining.
She hasn't been well since the riding accident, Lady Eustace. She barely eats or goes out. She just languishes in her room.
Well, I have an idea. I am to leave for London on Friday. Lord George has agreed to accompany me. Perhaps Lucinda could come with us.
Oh, what? And be alone in London? Oh, no, that would never do.
She could stay at my house. Together, we could make sure we receive nobody who resembled either a toad or a sea cucumber.
What? Oh. It's a kind offer, but no. But perhaps if you are deserting us and Lord George too, I will pack up my house and bring us both to London.
Oh.
Oh, the weather has turned so miserable. It could be that, could it, making Lucinda's spirits fall so low?
I don't think it's that, Mrs. Carbuncle.
No, I don't either. Oh, dear, why can't she like him? I know his facial expressions are sometimes a bit ugly, but...
In fairy tales, frogs turn into princes. But Sir Griffin hasn't had his metamorphosis yet. Perhaps it will come suddenly when nobody's looking. Get to Carlisle in time for supper, Lord George.
Yes.
Are you hungry already, Patience?
Yes, I am.
I'm hungry too.
Oh, well, praise the Lord, Lucinda, when you've eaten nothing for days on end.
I didn't like it in Scotland, Aunt. But I shall be fine now that I'm free again.
I suppose you mean free from Griffin, do you? Poor man. You know he could buy you a stable full of thoroughbred ponies if you wanted them.
I don't want them.
I shall never understand women.
No men understand women.
The champagne is excellent. Thank you, Lord George.
My pleasure.
I mean, I was afraid they might never have heard the word champagne in Carlisle, but how wrong I was. Oh, should we send up a glass to your companion, Lady Eustace?
Oh, no. Champagne would be wasted on Crabstick. Oh. And she has to remain vigilant. She has my two most precious possessions in her care. But she's rewarded with a nice room, with a little sitting room of its own.
Well, I hope they've taken her some supper.
You've left the diamonds with her?
Yes, but not the key to the strongbox. I'm never parted from that.
Are you beginning to be weary of them, Lady Eustace?
Weary of the diamonds?
No. They and I have travelled a long road together, Lord George. It's as though they're a part of me now. To take them from me would be to cut off a limb. Mm.
Why don't you say that to the Lord Chancellor and he might take pity on you?
I can't see what all the fuss is about. A gift is a gift. Lady Eustace has the use of an entire Scottish estate. Why should she not have the use of a diamond necklace?
I agree. It's all hypocrisy, if you ask me.
And it may soon be brought to a resolution, alas.
You mean you think the court will go against me?
I mean that it will be decided one way or another.
Perhaps. On second thoughts, I'd better go and see if Prabstick's got her supper.
Oh, you can send one of the hotel maids, dear.
No, I think it'd be better to go myself. I'll take milk for Flo. Would you ask them very kindly to keep my chocolate souffle warm? Who is it?
It's me, Prabstick. Open the door.
Did someone bring you supper?
Well, cold leg of chicken.
Oh, I prefer the breast.
So do I.
Now, where have you stowed the strong box?
Under the sofa, there.
Good. You do understand, don't you, that I'm putting great trust in you?
I could honestly wish them gone.
All right. But don't wish them gone. That's horribly unkind. Now, here's Flo's milk. Will you give it to him while I verify the necklace is safe?
Safe?
Of course it's safe. Take the milk. Go to Flo. Go on.
Come on, baby.
You marvel. You know you have a true place in my heart. I'm so sorry. Flo wouldn't take his milk.
A waiter.
Madam.
A Lady Eustace's chocolate souffle. You look flustered, Lady Eustace. Is everything all right?
Yes. Flo was a little upset, but I've quietened him.
I suppose you may be worrying about what is going to happen to you in London.
It's not nice to have to go to court. How would you like it, Lord George?
I wouldn't like it at all, but I've been thinking. John Eustace is a reasonable man. Perhaps I could have a word with him.
It's kind of you, but I'm terribly afraid we have gone beyond mere words.
I could advise him to give up the whole thing.
I don't see why it was begun in the first place.
He won't give it up. Camperdown won't let him.
Your chocolate souffle, madam.
Oh, take it away, will you? I don't want it.
Madam?
Oh, are you not well, dear?
I don't know. I just feel a little sick. I think I may have to go to bed.
Well, I'll take you upstairs, Lady Eustace.
That's kind of you. So kind. Oh, dear. I'm sorry, Miss Roanoke. I'm dizzy. Oh. I feel I can barely move.
Now, hold on to me, Lizzie. Oh. I may call you Lizzie now after all this time, may I?
Yes, of course.
Call me Lucinda. I hope we shall still be friends in London.
I know we shall.
I could come to court with you, if you'd like that.
I'm so afraid, Lucinda. I feel my life is coming to an end.
Oh, don't say that.
It's been so short. That's what makes me feel sick. It's been shorter than a winter's day.
Look, you're tired, Lizzie. Come, I'll help you into bed.
Stay with me a little while. We can talk about riding or anything you like. Don't you hate the darkness?
I'd only hate it if there were no morning.
Florian! Flo! Don't walk so fast. Wait for me. It's so dark. Wait for me. Don't walk away from me. Flo, where are you going?
I see you behind me. I see the workings of your avaricious soul.
What? Flo!
Flo, don't say such a terrible thing.
You never loved me.
I did. I do. I love you.
You came into my heart, but you didn't knock at the door.
What?
You had no modesty, nor shame.
I don't know what you mean.
I told you to knock. I begged you to knock, to ask my permission, but you didn't hear me. I begged you to knock. I begged you to knock. I begged you to knock. I begged you to knock.
Open the door!
Florian?
It's George! It's 7 o'clock! Open the door!
Lord George?
You'd better sit down, my dear. I have grave news.
What? Oh, I was having the most terrible dream about Florian.
This is no dream. There's been a robbery. Thieves broke into Patience Crabstick's sitting room during the night and carried away your box.
My box?
Carried it clean away.
What are you saying?
It's all too simple, I'm afraid. Your diamonds are gone.
In the second episode of The Eustace Diamonds by Anthony Trollope, dramatised by Rose Tremaine, Lizzie was Pippa Nixon, Frank, Joseph Kloska, Lord George, Adrian Scarborough, Mrs. Carbuncle, Lorelei King, and Crabstick and Essie, Alison Pettit. Lucinda was Lydia Leonard, Sir Griffin, Nicholas Bolton, Andy, Mark Bonner, Lady Fawn, Stella Gone, Lucy, Amy Morgan, Lord Fawn, Jamie Glover, Augusta, Laura Hannah, Lydia, Ellie Butters, and Nina, Ella Dale. Original music was composed by Lucinda Mason Brown. The harpist was Cecilia de Maria, the cellist was Alison Baldwin, and the director was Gordon House. This was a Gold Hawk Essential production for BBC Radio 4.
And Lizzie becomes increasingly desperate in the final episode next Sunday at 3.
I thought it would be quite interesting to do a family saga.
Elizabeth Jane Howard, the author of 4 novels featuring the Cazalets.
What if Zoe decided she wanted Clary to start calling her Mum?
I did live through the war and I had a large family, so I used some of them and made up quite a lot of the others, you know.
I think you'd feel quite differently about family life if you had a baby.
Not yet.
The Cazalets. The Light Years. This Monday to Friday at 10:45 in the morning and 7:45 in the evening on BBC Radio 4.